Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have a big sports media conversation for you this week with Brian Curtis of The Ringer. Covered an absolute ton of topics with Brian Curtis. Everything from Tom Brady's upcoming debut on Fox to Bill Belichick and Nick Saban becoming members of the media, to the Kelce brothers getting $100 million for their podcast, to Mike Greenberg becoming the host of ESPN's Sunday NFL Countdown show, the return of the sports reporters, Paul Feinbaum, and also get into a conversation about Charles Barkley, what we think is going to happen with him, and whether or not a network will ever hire a non-ex-NFL player to call a game based off of Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football calling a preseason game this past weekend. So all those topics with Brian Curtis of The Ringer, followed by Sal Licata and the Train of Thought segment, all coming up on this podcast. And Sal and I go through the Apple reviews for the month of August as well this week. Before we get to it, if you've missed any recent episodes, Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN was on the podcast from ESPN and Amazon Prime on the podcast last week. Great, great interview with Kirk. Check that out if you missed it. Chris Mad Dog Russo on the pod a couple of weeks ago. Greg Olson on the pod recently as well from Fox. So Herbstreit, Russo, Olson, all recent guests. Check those out if you did not listen, and subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, let's get to it. Brian Curtis from The Ringer, followed by Traina Thoughts. All right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular. I always love when he comes on. You guys always seem to love when he comes on. So after several attempts and several vacation problems, we finally have from The Ringer, Brian Curtis. Brian, how's it going?
That sounds like I'm really important or something, but it was mostly because I promised my wife and family that I would actually be on vacation this summer.
I think I asked twice, and both times you're on vacation, so it's I had good timing there. So this is actually a perfect week to do this because there's a ton of sports media news, and obviously NFL is starting up. So we have a million topics to get into. In fact, right before we started taping, I think this came down like 20 minutes ago, I just saw ESPN for the Florida State-Georgia Tech game this past Saturday from Ireland, 5 million viewers. Up 40% from week zero last year. 5 million viewers for that game is pretty significant.
I'd agree. And also, it was an awesome game. So it was, you know, one of those where right off the bat, you're like, oh, wait, Florida State looks really, really vulnerable. to the upset as it wound up happening. Haynes King looks like a live quarterback, and it was fun too. I mean, I was just, I'm like you, just when football comes back, even if it's branded week zero football, which is like the fakest designation of all time, I'm just like, here we go. Even if Rhys Davis sounds like he's doing the intro to the Ireland edition of The Lonely Planet on game day when he comes out of the box, I'm like, this rules. Let's go.
It, I mean, listen, you get a game that ends on a field goal, but and an upset, you expect a good rating, but I wonder if that rating means anything in terms of, you know, the anticipation for football. Football already has a stranglehold on this country. That's a big number, 5 million for that first week, still the middle of summer, Saturday at noon. That's good news there for ESPN and the college football world. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And I'm not,
I thought it was interesting.
But I think we've been told, right, to expect ratings to go down slightly this year. To have, right. That has nothing to do with American appetites for football. But, okay, so big number out of the box.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy the ratings are going to go down. I think when it happened in 20, it wasn't 4 years ago. I think it was 8 years ago when it happened. It was all new and fresh, the insanity of Trump. Now I think it's old hat. So I wouldn't expect a big dip based on politics.
I think that's, you're the one who pointed out that the debates are all on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah. Getting the heck out of the way of the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. They know. I thought it was interesting, too. Herb Street was on this podcast last week. They sent him there for game day, and then he didn't do the game. It ended up being Joe Tess and Greg McElroy, and not Greg McElroy, Jesse Palmer.
Jesse Palmer.
And that was a perfect Joe Tess game. So, again, everything aligned properly to get the 5 million viewers. All right. We begin the season soon. And maybe I'm biased because I cover sports media, but I'm also a huge NFL fan. The biggest story in week one, it's not Jim Harbaugh. It's not Caleb Williams. It's Tom Brady. I don't care what anyone says. That will be the biggest story of week one. Let's start with, how are you going to judge Brady? Are you going to make declarations after one game? I already know. I could already see all of us who do this are going to post something about Brady, like either after the game or on Monday. I don't know if you will, but should we take it easy and relax a little bit? Or because he's Tom Brady, he deserves to have a judgment made after one game?
You're saying we're going to wait till after the game or on Monday to start posting stuff?
Halftime.
Whose plan was that? The first time Tom Brady talks on Fox, I'm in. I mean, I think there's a couple of things about him that are fascinating. One is just because this level of megastar actually doing announcing. Wow. The fact that it is Tom Brady. Okay, I am so eager to see how that turns out. But also there's the fact that we have not heard Tom Brady talk all that much in a relaxed setting ever. And, you know, the first time that he criticizes a quarterback, will that be Deshaun Watson? Will it be Dak Prescott in week one? Will that be Daniel Jones somewhere down the line? That's just going to have so much more weight than anybody doing that on First Take or Get Up or a panel show, NFL Live, anything, right? Because it's Tom Brady. So, you know, I just think, like, the anticipation for that, to me, not just him breaking down tape, not just how he handles the mechanics of a broadcast, which we saw Tony Romo do really well right out of the box, but what he says, you know, what are the proclamations that he makes? So that's kind of what I'm looking forward most to seeing.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, in this day and age of aggregation, Fox PR, Fox management, I think they're going to have an interesting battle on their hands, because I think every single thing he says is going to be aggregated. And when aggregation happens, context is lost. And we saw a case, this happened with Troy a couple of years ago, and I was on it. I tweeted it too. And I don't, you know, Troy was doing a game. It was a Niners-Packers playoff game. And I think maybe the Niners are struggling to run the ball. And he goes, well, now things are going to be left up to Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, and the way he said it, it was easily implied like, well, that's a problem. And everyone posted it. And Troy said he didn't mean it that way. Who knows? But my point is, in that long diatribe, everything Tom says is going to get aggregated. Yes, the answer is just ignore it. But I wonder if that's going to become an issue too, because like you said, the first time he's calling out anybody, it's going to blow up.
So I think 95% of what he does is just going to be breaking down football, right? Like the big proclamations are, you know, when the game slows down or if he takes a moment to really say something. But that Troy moment is really fascinating because that was the NFC Championship game. By the way, Troy, even in the internet's interpretation of what Troy was saying, Troy was right.
Right. 100%.
Jimmy Garoppolo was not great. Like it was one of those things where he accidentally said the thing that people wanted him to say, which was, this is done now because Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to go down and win this game. And in fact, I believe he threw a pick six either on the next play or a couple plays later, if I remember that game correctly. So, yeah, you're right. Like those will be the interesting moments. But I just think so much of a game is just talking football, right? And like Tom Brady talking football, it's pretty aggregation proof, I say bravely. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And, you know, that will be a lot, I think, what we hear week one.
Okay. That'll be interesting if it's aggregation proof. I'll be curious. You know, he did the he did something in that Fanatics thing a couple of weeks ago in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He did a thing with Stephen A. And even then, he was talking about, well, there was two funny things that happened. Stephen A. wanted Brady to name the top five quarterbacks in the league right now. And Tom got to four. And he said Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar Jackson. And he goes, I'll just leave it at that. Like the guy can't even come up with a fifth quarterback. That's how bad he thinks the quarterback play is. And then he was talking about quarterback play. And he goes, you know, let's say someone throws a pick. Let's say Daniel Jones throws a pick. And Stephen A. was like, oh, it's Daniel Jones. That's the guy. He goes, no, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. He goes, well, he goes, maybe I meant it a little bit. I think Tom's going to have a hard time controlling the criticism during these games. Unless he has someone in his ear saying, you know, pull it back or take it easy.
Well, that's fascinating, right? Because that's the reverse of the usual problem when you have a big athlete come into the broadcast booth is they won't say anything. They won't go out and crush somebody when they need to crush somebody. So, by the way, if that part of his personality is getting out, to me, that's a great problem for everybody to have. I don't think Fox corporate PR, whatever, is going to worry if like Tom Brady is making news by having opinions about people. I think they're super happy if that's the outcome here.
Couldn't agree more. I fall on the side of I think he's definitely going to have comments about people. I think he's definitely going to be critical. What would your guess be at this point?
I think there'll be some of that. I mean, I we don't know, right? So I'm guessing here. I think he'll be very judicious with it because I think he, of all people, knows exactly what weight those words carry. It may be a little bit like Troy, where one thing that I love about Troy is he is frustrated by bad football.
Right.
And that's when it comes out with Troy. And that's like, I think Troy as a human is like that. And in recent years, that has snuck onto the air more because he's just been a little looser and he's been a little more comfortable with saying that stuff. So I think with the kind of anger / disgust / disappointment with bad football, I look forward to that because those are some of the best moments I think we get from color guys.
Absolutely. And listen, Troy's been doing it 20 plus years. That's what I find really fascinating about Tom is will it take him a little time to get comfortable or will he be comfortable right from the get-go in criticizing players? It, really going to be fascinating on that Sunday Browns Cowboys at 4:25. And it's interesting because you haven't heard much from Tom. No interviews, no, you know, he cherry picks his things here and there, but it's really going to seem fresh on that Sunday too, which is
Like I said, I think the most we've heard from him is at the roast. I mean, that's the most we've heard from him in a kind of, you know, there's been the Sirius show podcast / podcast and a few little things here and there. But like just to hear him talk at length about anything and especially in that setting and doing it with Burkhart, right, who's very much like Troy's partner, Joe Buck, and he wants to make this work, right? He is a guy. Buck always struck me, one of the interesting parts of his personality is he's a pleaser, right? He wants to make things comfortable and good. He wants to set the other guy up. He's not worried about, you know, him getting shine in that role. And Burkhart's really, really like that. So I think that'll be the other part of this. It's really important, not to mention the guys in the truck who are excellent. But, you know, Burkhart just being the kind of guy that will make Brady feel comfortable and make him feel able to say what he wants to say.
Tom did a stop here, but it was only for 10 minutes. So if anyone from Fox is listening, can I please get Tom for an hour? Thank you. All right. And then obviously Tom's coach, Bill Belichick, is now Mr. Media.
Mm-hmm.
Five media jobs for Bill Belichick. He's going to be on with McAfee once a week, Monday night, Manning Cast on Monday nights with Peyton and Eli. He's going to be on in the first quarter of those games, those 10 weeks. Side note, I love how the Mannings are still doing only 10 weeks. Like, that's the the Howard Stern Mannings where you dictate your schedule and you don't want to work every week. That to me is the dream. So kudos to the Mannings for still only doing 10 episodes. Yeah. You know, ESPN would want 18.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my childhood example is always Johnny Carson working Tuesday through Thursday and then taking the summer off.
Yeah. Yeah. That is
good work if you can get it.
Excellent work if you can get it. So Bill will be Manning Cast, McAfee, his own thing with Underdog, which no offense, still don't know what that is. And the Inside the NFL on the CW. And then it was just announced he's going to be with Jim Gray on Monday nights on Sirius XM. Five media jobs for Belichick. And I tie this in with Nick Saban because they're similar all-time coaches in their sport and these unique personalities. Saban, obviously, now on College Game Day. And McAfee, too, I guess. Which guy intrigues you more this year as a media star?
It's interesting. Let me say this first about Belichick's five jobs. Why do coaches get into media? So they can get another coaching job. That is the case in 99%, except for Jeff Van Gundy, who was only said he wanted to get another coaching job. That's the reason they get in. So if you're Bill Belichick, and you just went through a whole cycle where you got, told no by the Falcons and all these other teams and the Commanders, then like you have a lot to gain here, which is you need to remind people that you're a great coach or were a great coach. And you need to also sort of convince people that you have a personality that can fit inside a building and fit with a billionaire owner that's more than the personality you showed or didn't show when you were with Patriots. So there's a lot of upside for him here. Like, I just assume he wants to coach. I assume he wants to go set the all-time NFL wins record. Darn, I assume this is not his life's work at this point or second career. But I think that's part of the reason he takes so many things is because there's an upside here to him, which is, I can go get another job. Him or Saban? So then I think the question is, like, who do you want? Do you want the guy who's on a temporary, probably 1 or 2 year deal? Or do you want Saban who's done? Mm-hmm. And is free to go? I mean, I think Saban's kind of interesting because he explains a lot more at college football. Right now, there's this whole NIL recruiting part of college football. And you saw him get into that in week zero a little bit. But he is the portal to explaining that, right? He does that. And he already made news by saying, oh, these people are camping out in Tuscaloosa to try to steal my players and, in terms of transferring. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess I'd go a little bit Saban. The Belichick is kind of like Brady. It's like just Belichick talking in an uncontrolled setting. I know he's done a lot with McAfee and stuff like that. Like that's fascinating too.
Yeah, you do wonder if Belichick maybe pulls it back a little because, like you said, he wants the coaching job, whereas Saban can let it all fly because he's, like you said, he's done with coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my take early. But, Belichick, again, it's a little bit like Brady. It was like anything he says, especially anything that's critical, will be huge news.
Yeah.
Just right. Yeah. Big aggregatable stuff.
I think I'm more intrigued by Saban this season from the standpoint of seeing him on game day,
mm-hmm.
which is a fun, wild atmosphere. He's not fun or wild. You've got McAfee there. Nothing else needs to be said.
Yep.
I think if you do that show, you have no choice but to loosen up. So I guess we'll see a looser Nick. You're not going to be on that show and be stiff. Eventually, you got to loosen up if you're doing that show. And him loosened up, I think, will be good TV.
Yes, and he's got this relationship with McAfee that, predates him being on Game Day that started last year and probably before that on McAfee's show. So that's kind of an interesting element. And also Nick Saban is just like Game Day, man. I mean, he was one of the first coaches to let that show come in and get the whole tour of the program every week. He was the one saying, come down, come down. I have no problem with it. I love the media. I love you guys because you guys are my biggest recruiting tool. So from that point of view, just fun to see him on the other side of the desk.
Speaking of Game Day, I thought it was interesting when I had Kirk Herbstreit on last week. He said he had thought about maybe giving up Game Day when he got the Amazon gig. And he said McAfee was the reason he decided to stay with Game Day and doesn't want to leave anymore. And I feel like McAfee talks about getting criticized a lot or people giving him a hard time. I mean, I've seen it because I get it when I praise McAfee, but I feel like he's now like this firmly entrenched ESPN guy. I mean, you have Saban going to a show, Belichick going to a show, Herbstreit staying on game day because of McAfee. And people may have an issue because Pat maybe curses on the show or rips ESPN people on the show. I think anyone who thinks, I mean, I think there are a lot of people who didn't think the McAfee-ESPN marriage would last a year, which it's been now. I think that marriage is here to stay.
There's a reason they're fighting through all this stuff. Well, wasn't it like, what was it, a month ago, 2 months ago, that McAfee was like, am I coming back to game day or not? I'm still trying to decide. Right. There's a reason Jimmy Pitaro's fighting through all this stuff. Like, it's important. And by the way, game day's got like competition on Fox. Like, they need Pat McAfee sitting in the middle of that desk. Yeah. That's important. And it's good for the show. The thing about Herbie is fascinating to me because I think game day is where he gets where so much of his mojo as an announcer comes from. Mm-hmm. Because it's different, right, than any other broadcaster that we see. You can go on there and have opinions about the whole sport. You can be Mr. College Football in addition to calling the big Saturday night game. It'd be weird to me to have Herbie without game day.
And listen, there are a lot of announcers, broadcasters, that have multiple jobs. I mean, Ian Eagle and Kenny Albert. But for Herbstreit to be doing game day, the A game on ESPN ABC, and Thursday night football, I think that's sort of flown under the radar how significant that is.
Yes, it's that might be the most demanding, you know. I mean, we've seen a lot of play-by-play guys do five games a week or something like that and in different cities. And I'm sure that's just a big travel toll. But doing 3 hours of pregame where you have to know about 100 college football teams and then know about the NFL and then the big game, that's a ton.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then swoop into the NFL where, again, standalone game on Thursday night, so everything him and Al says gets analyzed to death. And he has, we had this dust up on Monday with Paul Feinbaum and Deion Sanders. I don't know if dust up's the right word, but I've been blown away by the media just kissing Deion's ass for a year and just giving him a free pass on everything. And Feinbaum dropped the hammer with this whole thing where not only does Deion and the school, I guess it was the school, saying that nobody with the school is going to talk to this Denver Post reporter, and I forgot his name, Sam Keeley. Is that the name?
Keeley.
Yeah. Not only do they do that, but it's written in Deion's contract that he doesn't have to talk to anyone he doesn't want to talk to. And Deion wants to end up in the NFL. Like, one, that won't fly. That will not fly in the NFL at all. And you were 4-8, and here you are banning reporters. That was as Bush League as I've seen. And the only voice, prominent voice, I think there were others. Someone else did it on, I think, around the horn. But Feinbaum dropped the hammer, and good for him.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, absolutely. And it's funny because I think this is one of those cases where what Deion is doing is a version of what college coaches have done forever. I mean, there are a lot of not Nick Sabans there, and maybe the local Alabama people would tell you that Nick Saban wasn't a huge teddy bear when they were interviewing him, as opposed to him doing a national interview. Mm-hmm. And this is one of these access things that we from the national level probably don't see a lot of the time because it is all fought on a very local level at press conferences that are not watched by that many people compared to an NFL press conference. So to me, it's part of what the reason that this is so big, and this is not to excuse Deion at all, because I think it's totally unacceptable as well. And I do think it's Bush League, to use the phrase, but I think what he's doing is he's just getting more attention, right? Started with that weird Ed Werder thing that was that week one? Was that after TCU? I think.
Oh yeah. Yes. I forgot about
like
that.
Mad at Ed Werder. And we're like, wait, what did Ed Werder in particular do you, the coach of the University of Colorado? Just made absolutely no sense.
Right.
But it's so weird because on the one hand, he's kind of doing two things, right? He's telling the local media, I'm not going to answer your questions. But then he's telling the national media, come on in, get the full tour. We saw Fox hitch Big Noon Kickoff to that program
for
3 weeks last year.
Right.
And when you talk about why TV people are grateful, it's because Deion equaled ratings last year.
Well, that's what the issue is, because you can't criticize Fox for doing that because of what the numbers were, but I thought Fox embarrassed itself with the way they covered Deion, the way they went to Colorado games. The team stunk. So at some point, like, maybe stop kissing the guy's ass for five. I understand you got your ratings, so that's all that matters. But I thought Fox embarrassed itself last year with what they did with Deion. But, you know, they got the ratings, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think there's this weird position, and you and I have probably been in this in our lives sometime, where somebody, a famous person, is not talking to other people, specifically not talking to other people and doing it on grounds that just don't make any sense, right? They just don't make any sense. But they're willing to talk to you. And in this case, this is probably a national person talking to Deion. Oh, sit down, 60 minutes, here we go. To me, it's incumbent upon you to ask the question of why are you treating local reporters like that? It's kind of the least you can do if you're, you know, soaking up the clicks and the rating from getting the interview. To me, that seems like a question, because it's obviously a big story about Deion.
Well, the local media probably knows way more about the nonsense happening there than the national media. They're there every day. Yeah.
It's like, because there was a lot of college coach. Yeah. I mean, they're all, they just, let's get a college reporter right here and just be like, tell me about your relationship with the coach. You know, it's not just good, bad, like it is with any beat writer. There's some shutout times. Sometimes you probably were just like pissed off and not getting called on and all that stuff. I absolutely believe that.
Well, I think it was important that Feinbaum said what he said because of his prominence in the college football world. And Feinbaum is not a guy who's out there saying crazy stuff all the time. When he says it, it carries some weight. And he's, you know, the words he used, disgrace and bully, big words, but he did it in a very fair manner. So
not crazy stuff all the time, but not above getting aggregated. Let's say that about the,
well, who isn't these days? You know, I was thinking of this yesterday too with the Deion stuff. I don't know if you have an answer to this, or if there is, there probably is no answer, but I'll throw it. Why is Paul Feinbaum not on game day?
They tried it. And you know, he was almost too hot for game day. He did it for a season, and then he wound up doing the SEC Network thing.
Right.
And the idea was that maybe he's more there, but he did it. And that's where, remember, he called Lane Kiffin the Miley Cyrus of college football.
Why I have no recollection of this. I can't believe it. Oh, my
God.
It was
a fun couple of weeks of American life, let me tell you.
I got to look that up. And one thing about, the last thing on Deion before I move on. You and I, every time you come on, we're all, you know, you had the Johnny Carson reference. So we go back a little bit, unfortunately.
I'm old.
I remember what Deion did with Tim McCarver. So that's why I have a hard time with all the Deion fawning all the time.
Oh, my God.
Because I went back and watched that, and it was bad.
It was really bad. It was really bad. I mean, imagine if that happened now with anybody.
Oh, my God. Forget it. Forget it. Suspension and every, you know.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sunday countdown. We know about RG3 Sam Ponder. They named Mike Greenberg the host. Someone on Twitter said to me, Mike Greenberg is basically Ryan Seacrest. I thought that was a perfect analogy.
Yeah. If there is a show, he will host it at some point.
The sports Ryan Seacrest will, as smooth as butter, will never say anything that gets anyone riled up. And no. You don't have to worry about it. Do you think ESPN slides him in there because they don't have to worry about it? If he goes in there, they know he's going to do a good job and that's it.
That's part of it. And part of it is they have like six stars and those six stars will be on every single ESPN show. Like, I think that's philosophy is pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
It's going to have Stephen A. It's going to have Pat McAfee. It's going to have Mike Greenberg. It's going to have SVP. One of those people is going to be on every major ESPN studio show.
Well, my first thought when the news came out about Sam Ponder was, okay, they need a host who would be good. I'm like, SVP would be great. I'm like, oh, wait, he's on Monday night, so he can't do Sunday. Mm-hmm. So they went to one of the other. I know a lot of people, I don't know about a lot, but I know there were people upset Laura Rutledge didn't get the job. Do you think ESPN should have given her a shot, or do you understand why it was Greenberg?
I understand the Greenberg for the reasons for the, you know, just but the corporate philosophy we've seen over the last couple of years. I think Laura would do a great job at that. I also think like the problem with that show to me was not Sam Ponder. It was that there wasn't really anybody I wanted to hear from on that show. That show needs a whole rethink. I mean, it is not the host, right, is the problem. And I don't think, I seriously doubt you and I get much out of any NFL pregame show, but I get less out of that one than I get out of the other ones. Just because it's not even like, oh, it's big stars, you know, that have been around forever. It's just like, who am I looking forward to hearing from on that show? And to me, if there's an idea of Laura, it's not only Laura, it's the whole NFL Live crew. I mean, I would just say, well, why don't we just take, isn't that our pregame show? We've invested in so much in these people. People like them. Won't we just do a full transplant? And that's our Sunday morning show.
I think you could easily make an argument that Laura Rutledge with Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Marcus, others on that. I guess they do Monday night, so maybe Mina was easily a better crew than what they have.
I mean, that's me. And I was just kind of assumed that was going to happen at some point. And maybe, again, maybe contractually it's hard for that to happen right now. But I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, remember, Greeny did kind of a cameo appearance on NBA Countdown.
Who has
there for a while. Yes. Well, that's a great point. But then he slid it off. Malika's got the show now. So, you know, I could see that happening to him doing a year or two and it being Laura, but she absolutely deserves it. Of course she does.
So let me ask you this. It's an NFL Sunday. You're somehow home right before the game start. What is the pregame show you would put on first?
Is there a Ringer NFL podcast I haven't listened to?
So you don't even flip on...
I will have it on as wallpaper, but am I
right? That's out? What I mean. I think that's how most people consume it.
And I probably Fox for the at least for the nostalgic part of it, just
That's
because
me.
it's
Yeah.
Terry, Howie, and Jimmy. I mean, that's what I would do. But if I wanted like information about the games, I'm looking at Twitter or I'm listening to podcasts.
Yeah, it's funny. Fox is, if I'm home and getting ready, the Fox is the one I put on.
Yeah,
And
it is.
ESPN, and I would go to CBS and NFL Network probably before ESPN in that case too, which is
I think so.
interesting about that pregame
Same
show.
power rank is here, yeah.
All right, that was a little harsh towards ESPN, so now we'll be nice. Last week, I wanted to do a mailbag for my column on SI.com, ask people for questions on Twitter. And the topic that came up the most, and I think maybe because there's a little confusion about it, which we'll get into, but people were excited about the return of the sports reporters, which I think John Oran broke over at Puck. Now, the details of it are a little, it's supposed to be on YouTube. And then I think John came out with a follow-up tweet, said it'll end up being on linear. So I think where it ends up right now, maybe we don't know 100% of what the plan is, but there's going to be some return of the sports reporters. Well, let me start with this. Do you know any details yet on, or just what John Oren reported? And because I think you need a certain kind of host for that. Are you going to make it the same way it was? How are you going to go about it? So let me
You did
start
have
off.
Jeremy Schapp as a host, right?
Okay.
Jeremy, the chair
He
that
said
is.
that they were going to tape an episode with Jeremy Schapp, with Joe Buck and Al Michaels.
So that all was just confusing to me because they are not, as great as they may be, sports reporters.
Right.
Kind of a weird parable for sports writing when our first idea is like, what? Well, here's some big time announcers that could be in there.
Right.
Not that that's a bad show, like that's interesting to me. I mean, the sport I love, I grew up loving the sports reporters to go back to the Johnny Carson era of television here, right? It was awesome. But I would also love that show in an era where it's like I have kind of vaguely heard of these people. There's no way for me to read their column on a daily basis. There's no, I've never maybe seen them before, other than, I don't know, the back of a book jacket or something like that.
Right.
But it's a real time and place thing. And for people of our generation, when ESPN killed that show, there was a lot of death of ESPN. Oh no, they've killed another thing. It did feel though like it was part of a time and place to me. So if it's going to be something, it's going to have to be something very, very different than what it was. Otherwise, it's just a podcast with sports reporters talking to each other.
That's a really, really good point because does feel like that. I mean, you said it perfectly. That shows of a time and place. And if they brought it back in the vein that it was, where you don't have people screaming and yelling and doing hot takes and not even doing it in the bad way. I mean, even if you're doing it in like a Mad Dog Russo way where you're trying to be entertaining, that show is none of those things. That show is not what that is. It's a podcast is perfect. It's just a conversation. Everyone chimes in with their opinions. No one's saying crazy shit just to get a reaction, which is what happens on all these shows. So, can that show exist today? Is a very interesting question because it's funny. Your first reaction to Buck and Al Michaels was, well, they're not sports reporters. My first reaction was, okay, so if you have Jeremy Schapp doing a 1 hour show, say, and it's a conversation with Buck and Al, I'm going to watch that. Like, I
Sure.
know I'm going to watch it. Right.
And by the
So
way, put Costas on there like they did at the Olympics when Tirico had Costas and Al Michaels. Like that was cool. Kind of like the super, Marvel superheroes that we don't often see in the same movie all coming together at once.
Right. So the question is then, is it in name only or is it the sports reporters? I guess we have to wait to find out.
Yeah, and by the way, I think the announcer one is just kind of more interesting to me at this time, and not to throw our fellow sports writers under the bus, but I just feel like I have that in various forms now. You and I right now are doing our own little cosplay of the sports reporters. So,
That's true.
it's a
I
podcast.
thought I was in my head, I'm thinking if they bring it could bring it back in the same vein, different kind. I think like I think I said this in the column. Like I think Tony Reale would be a great host for a sports reporters type of show. Younger guy,
Yeah. I mean,
smooth.
I will say Dick Schapp was cool in the day because he was a writer and he was kind of a writer who'd graduated to TV, but he had literary bona fides. So if there was somebody like that, I don't totally know who off the top of my head who that would be, who was also happy to be the kind of point guard, elder statesman figure. It's kind of an interesting role to cast.
But made me think, The YouTube part of it made me think they're trying to go younger with it, like a younger version. I don't know why, but that's what came in my head when I saw it prominently on YouTube. I was thinking, okay, like a Tona Reale maybe, and I guess it's a big wait and see. But people hear that name. The point is, the name Sports Reporter still holds some weight in this day and age. Yeah,
it was ESPN's Meet the Press back in the day. Yeah. It was their Sunday morning show.
Absolutely. Let's see what else we have. Oh, I mean, we're here as two podcasters, and the Kelseys just got $100 million for their podcast. I'll take $100. Like, can we?
Okay.
What?
The bidding for Jimmy at $100.
Yes. I don't know the business side of this. And obviously, a lot of this is tied in with Taylor Swift, but I'm blown away that Amazon/Wondery, I guess, like, they can make their money back on a $100 million investment in a podcast. And I don't say that to denigrate podcasts, since this is a podcast, but that to me is shocking.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to totally pretend I understand the economics of it. It is a huge number, and it's not just Taylor. Remember, I mean, Taylor obviously super duper turbo charges it, but they played each other in the Super Bowl.
But they're not getting $100 million without her.
No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, it has much more luster now, but like, it was, you know, it's, you and I've seen 19 versions of this. Well, let's say 190 versions of the Player podcast while they're still active, from Draymond and on and on. And this is by far the most successful of those.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in terms of like, we made this amount of money, but in terms of like, this is actually a good podcast. Some of them are just like not good at all, or just okay, or good only when the Player is in an interesting moment, like Draymond doing it during the finals that year. I remember that was pretty compelling when they won their last title. But yeah, that's a big number.
Big number. Couple of things here before we wrap. Speaking of big numbers, I got an email about it last week, and then I think they released it yesterday, that LeBron now, who I'm a big fan of LeBron, is now he's a spokesman doing commercials for DraftKings. And unfortunately, he's doing it with Kevin Hart, which I've never understood that Kevin Hart thing. But I see that and I'm like, okay, well, if you're LeBron, you really need the DraftKings money. And then if you're DraftKings, you print money because every gambler's a loser. You're going to waste all that money to pay LeBron, I guess, football starting year in competition with FanDuel. I don't know. But I just think sometimes I see these marriages and I don't understand them at all.
The LeBron part is interesting because presumably he could just make tons of money from anybody. That has included Taco Bell. Remind me of his other sponsors.
Oh, God. I mean
obviously shoe stuff.
The shoe stuff is... What else does LeBron... I don't usually pay attention to it. Because how can you keep track? Is he one of those people that did Subway, like Jeter, which was the biggest joke ever, like Derek Jeter ever?
Everybody, Barkley, Romo.
Yeah, none of them have ever had a Subway sandwich in their life.
Probably in a Subway ad at some point.
I'm sure LeBron, Gatorade, I'm sure LeBron has a drink ad, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. He's in the kind of interesting late career zone too, where I feel you start doing different things. We've seen him do like various media things that are different because it's late in his career. Most recently, the podcast with his now coach. But, you know, maybe it's a late career. I'm figuring things out. I'm setting myself up. I don't know.
I think it's just, I see LeBron on the DraftKings ad. I'm just like, don't you just want to enjoy your time? What are you doing this for?
But, yeah, we should know. No one is asking us to do major national ads. And, you know, I don't know that we would be like, you know what? I want to just enjoy my time at home rather than do this training Subway ad that we're going to air in 100 markets.
Yeah, don't ask me to do Subway though. That's where I'll draw.
Perhaps a bad example.
Yeah. The game was aired locally here in New York on Saturday, but then I heard it was simulcast on NFL Network. Did you get a chance at all on Saturday to tune in? It was Jets Giants, but the broadcast team was Ian Eagle and Peter Schrager.
I'm fascinated by this because I saw your tweet about this, and it's like, it's a really interesting question, right? Because it does feel like past time, this is what you're pointing out on Twitter, that the networks have non-players in the booth. First of all, it does, especially since Howard Cosell did this 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal and a big hit. We're talking about this podcast yesterday. It's funny you mentioned this. It's like, to me, part of the thing about getting players right is they're really famous. Tom Brady being the ultimate example, that Aikman, all these guys, right? You're getting fame that even our famous sports writer pals cannot quite match. No offense to anybody here. But I think it's one of those things where the old thing when you and I were growing up, to go back to the 80s one last time, is that there was this idea that there was no way a normal human could know as much about football as an ex-player. And now we've seen in the era of Mina, in the era of Bill Barnwell and Ben Solak and all these other people that, like, oh wow, you can know a hell of a lot about football just from watching tape, just from studying and being a journalist. So if there's ever a time it's going to happen, it feels like it's now. And even, there might be a moment where people at home who are not into the media and the level you and I are like, oh wait, why is this person calling a game? But surely they could prove that they know football pretty quickly.
I think, listen, there's never going to be a network that takes someone like Schrager, who's never played the game, and put him as a lead analyst in the number one booth solo. Like, that's never going to happen. It's always going to be an ex-player because look who it is. It's Brady, it's Aikman, it's got to be all the big names. So that's not going to, because the networks still want the guy who's going to sit there and talk about, cover two and the Nickelback rushes after the end drops off and to show how smart they are. It's all, But you can't tell me someone like Peter Schrager can't be on like the fifth crew at CBS or Fox. I would say that Peter Schrager would be a better listen, a more entertaining listen than like Daryl Moose Johnston.
Well, that to me is the best point about this, because it's like those lower crews where they're doing the game for like 5% of the country, they weirdly stay the same year after year. And I understand part of it's reliability. The network's like, let's just have somebody there. We'll never worry about them. That's fine. But if you're, it's weird that you're not using that as a talent pool, right? Let's go create a star who's going to do something big for us. Maybe it's the number one crew. Maybe it's the number two crew. That does a playoff game. Maybe it's part of a three-person booth that does something interesting. Maybe it's somebody that we elevate to the pregame show because they became kind of this, Sunday ticket star doing a lower, doing Jaguars, whatever. Like that to me is what they should be doing with those jobs.
Absolutely, 1,000%. Because also, it does come down to entertainment for me. So I, like I said, the A crew, the B crew, the C crew—they're always going to be that X player who can break down the film, the X's and O's, and all that stuff, and talk about when they played. But if you want some. But you can go the entertainment route. Like Ian and Schrager, if you listen to that broadcast, I caught about 15 minutes of it after getting home. It was entertaining. Like sports is supposed to be entertaining. You can get out of that formula, give someone like that a chance. And like you said, if it's the fifth, sixth crew, maybe you find something catches on. And no one, there's no downside to it. If the person's
No.
good, if the person's bad, it doesn't matter if they're an ex player or not an ex player. If the person's bad, the person's bad. But there's no downside to it.
Yes. I mean, I would just think it's almost like your AAA team in baseball, where it's like, the AAA team should be populated by people who can play in the majors, not by people who will be good at AAA baseball for the next 10 years. Like, that doesn't really help, right? Ultimately. So, yeah. And like, if it's the fifth, sixth crew, that's a bad game. That's not a good game. So, at least there's entertaining. So, when we're flipping around on something, like, oh, there's so and so. Let's go watch this. This is fun.
And you know this. Let's say a Fox decided to go that route and put someone who didn't play like Schrager on their fifth crew. The next year CBS is going to do, then Mina will be working for CBS. Like once one does it, then the other is going to copy because they all
Absolutely.
copy.
At
So
least
that'll
things work.
happen. All right, last thing before we go. This is the first time I think I've done a podcast with someone who covers sports media in probably 3 or 4 months where we're here at the whatever 40-minute mark, and we have not mentioned TNT Inside the NBA and Charles Barkley.
Uh-oh.
And it's all been done to death, and
I
I'm
think
so
that's
happy
actually
we.
illegal, not to mention the NBA rights deal for 40 minutes.
I'm not even going to get into the rights deal. I'm just going to make one statement, get your
Okay.
reaction, and see what you think. So obviously the latest news and the biggest news of it is Charles saying he's staying with TNT even when they don't have the NBA. Okay. Now they have this whole year coming up where they do have the NBA. And then after this season, no more NBA. And Charles says, no ESPN, no NBC, no Amazon, staying with TNT and, I don't know, calling Mountain West football. I don't know. But anyway, I say that still doesn't happen.
That this is not his, that this is...
That it's going to be this year and out.
For Charles.
Yeah.
I think that's
I'm not saying retiring.
Oh, that he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. I think that is the safest bet in the history of the world. First of all, Charles Barkley said five different things about his career this year that have all been contradictory.
No, five different things in about a two-week span.
In about a two-week span, depending on who he was. I'm just shocked by how credulously a lot of this stuff was reported about Charles. I mean, we're talking about reporters here that are skeptical people. Charles Barkley says this. I mean, I saw like The Athletic aggregated when Charles Barkley said he was retiring. Remember that? Remember that version of what Charles is doing next? He's going to do one more year and then retire.
Yes.
And I'm just like, really? I understand this is going to do a bunch of retweets here, but you're just kind of misleading all of your readers because this isn't going to happen. Your own reporters don't think this is going to happen.
Well, in fairness, if he says it, I think they have
said it 50 times over the last 5 years that he's going to retire, and then they give him a bunch of money and then he doesn't retire.
Right.
You just got to be like smart and be like, this guy's not leveling with us, or he just changes his mind all the time. And by the way, Charles Barkley is allowed to change his mind all the time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have to be like, oh, we got a big scoop here. Charles Barkley's doing this.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. To present it like that is a little
ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I mean, listen, it went from like he signed the 10-year deal with Turner and then immediately did interviews. It might have even been one of them with me where he said, there's no way I'm doing 10 years. Yes. So right off the bat,
already retiring right after the new deal. Right.
Then it was, if we lose the NBA, I'm going to listen to ESPN and NBC and Amazon. Then it was, I'm retiring.
I'm open for business, brother. That was his, that was his quote. He was bragging about having an out so he could be a free agent.
Right. Then it was, I'm retiring.
Yep.
And now it's, I'm staying with TNT.
And getting the rest of this huge contract to not call basketball for Turner. I think overwhelmingly likely he will be a free agent again and will be doing all these same stories, visiting all these stations of the cross, of the sports media cross, one more time.
I think that's exactly. There's not a show they're going to be able to offer him, Turner, that's going to make him stay there when they don't have the NBA.
No.
That's
my opinion. Do hockey? He's going to do baseball? Like, that's fun. Like that idea, and I guess there's this idea that they would change it into kind of a general sports show. Like, that's fun, but I just don't think you're going to pay $20 million a year for somebody to do that.
Right.
To basically not advertise basketball games on your network.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
I get the Turner angle of it, of this. I think they were trying to save some face and trying to get a win after taking so many losses with losing it and all that.
And this thing technically still is in court, right? So if you're just playing out as much string as you can play out, and clearly it really felt like somebody at Turner had gone to Barkley and be like, hey, by the way, you just bragging that you're a free agent is bad for our case. It's bad for the rest of inside the NBA team. And it's bad for the people here because if this show disappears, people are going to lose their jobs. Because you saw him do a real about face there. Oh, this is really about the behind the scenes people at Turner.
Right.
So I understand it from that point of view, but let's say they play out the string next year and that is it. Yeah. I think overwhelmingly likely he's going to be a free agent. And we'll be doing all this again, Jimmy. We will not get 40 minutes into a podcast without mentioning.
I didn't know if you would agree with me so easily on that one. I'm glad that was, I'm glad I came through on that one.
I wrote a piece about it this spring because it was just so funny. Because every time, I love Dan Patrick, like you, I'm a big Dan Patrick guy. Every time he go on the Dan Patrick show, it'll be like a radically different statement. Before it's like, we got a Charles Barkley. Well, I just saw him on the show and he was saying something else.
And I honestly believe it's him just changing his mind. That's the vibe I get. I think when he says it, that's what he believes in that moment.
I do think, though, he's smart. He's very, very smart. And he's very, very savvy about his career. And he knows that every time he says about retiring, there's this one that our pal Richard Deitch wrote one time. He was going to retire, and they came over to his house in Phoenix and brought him all this food, and then they gave him a golf check at the end of the night.
Right.
He's like, I'm not retiring. Like, I think Charles knows when he says certain words, either free agency or retirement, money comes in because he's so good at television. So I don't take out the agency from him either. I think he
Right.
knows exactly what he's doing.
Let's not forget Charles also threatened to go to live.
Which everybody memory hold. Remember, they're like, oh my gosh, inside the NBA could die. It's like it almost died a year ago because he was going
Right.
to go to the golf tournament, to the golf organization, and take them. And by the way, when that happened, remember, they might make me a huge offer. I don't know. I'm going to go see. And then all of a
Imagine.
sudden, Turner comes in with a huge new contract for Charles. Again, I could go on.
Imagine Charles on the CW drawing. What do they get? Like 10,000 viewers for the lift.
That would be horrific for
Oh
everybody.
my God. Brian, appreciate it as always. This was great. And I'll be looking for that Brady column about midway through the first quarter on that Sunday against the Browns.
That too early to publish?
Listen, first drive, get it
It's going to
in.
be like the remember the first Manning cast was like a Optimist Club meeting of sports media writers. Like we were all gathered
Right.
together, patting each other on the back, catching up. That will be the first Tom Brady telecast on
People
Fox.
forget the first like 10, 15 minutes of the Manning cast was a disaster. Peyton was
Yeah,
like trying on that helmet and doing
they were
some
doing
hokey
bits.
nonsense.
He had a lot of bits. Yeah.
That was the quickest recovery ever. All right, Brian, take it easy and enjoy the start of the NFL season.
Thanks, Jimmy. Great to see you
Take
as
care.
always.
You too.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, joining me now from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, as he does every week for our Train of Thoughts segment, my buddy Sal Acata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. I'm on vacation, but I'm taking the time to do this with you because this is not work. This is just catching up. Two friends BSing here on the SI
What?
Media podcast.
I just saw you 2 days ago, so we don't have a ton to catch up on.
That is true.
But, boy, if the cameras were rolling on Saturday in Sal's beautiful house in Jersey.
How many media ears were ringing on Saturday afternoon?
I don't think there was a media person we did not mention over the course of the day. That's for sure.
That was fun.
It was fun. So basically what I want to do is we got to read some reviews for August, but when I went to Sal's, took a drive from Long Island to Jersey, not easy, and
No.
spent the day at Sal's new home. And I posted a picture on Twitter, and I want to go through some of the replies here because they were funny.
Okay.
But a couple of the, I have to say, and I should have, I was going to pull the audio and have Shelby play it, but Sal needs to be commended because he did not offer me the house tour. And if you watch Curb, you know that nobody really wants a house tour.
I might have given my wife a heads up. Actually, maybe not even about you. We had Eddie Erickson and his wife were over as well. I was like, don't all, like, they don't need to see the house. They know what the house
We
is
got it.
about.
It's
They'll
rooms,
see it. Yeah,
bathrooms,
exactly. You don't, yeah.
bedrooms. We got it.
Oh, who
Yeah.
do you want to see upstairs? No, nobody wants to see
Right.
upstairs. So, especially my friends don't want to see it. So, don't worry about that.
And I was impressed with Sal's grilling skills. Phenomenal burger and a good skirt steak. How about Sal busting out the steaks? If I have friends over, it's hamburgers and hot dogs. You went steak.
Now, I will admit, that was my first time grilling steaks for others. Like hamburgers and hot dogs, I'm okay with, but I was a little nervous with the steaks for other people. I did it before for just my wife and I, but it was a pretty intense moment for me. I'm glad glad I was able to deliver and make you guys happy.
It's still bizarre to me that so many people enjoy this segment to the point where when I tweeted the picture, we got so many responses. Everyone nice too. And like the things people pick out, like people right away notice you were eating red velvet cake. I don't know why that is anything significant, but there were like five cakes there, and
Right.
Sal had multiple pieces, not just the red velvet, just for the
Right. I had
record.
two. I just had finished the chocolate cake and then the red velvet was sitting there. So yeah, I didn't get to that yet. The charcoal is better, I would say.
We discussed this a little bit there. I'd be curious if people listening can help us with it. Like, is it an Italian thing where you need basically one cake per person? I mean, my family, maybe it's two cakes. No, excuse me. I'm still partially sick, so that's why I'm clearing my throat. Mm. Sorry. My family probably goes one cake per three people. Like, if there's not 48 cakes at a holiday, my aunt, my dad, they'll have a stroke. They'll stroke out right there.
It's got to be one of everything, multiple of everything. It doesn't matter how many people are there. You need to have way, way over the... Now, you guys have... You brought something. Eddie brought something. My wife wanted to make sure, so she had a couple of things. That's how it happened. But yeah, it was like five people and five cakes.
Now, forgive me for not knowing this. What was the shirt you were wearing? It says, go away with some green... Oh, it was just Oscar the Grouch.
It was Oscar the Grouch. It just, okay. You know, it was just a tank deck that fit. Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of comments on our shirts. We got a lot of, like, you know, Sal wearing a go away shirt is just perfect. There's a comment from Derek Nelson.
I understand why they would say that, and it is fitting. This was not planned. It's the biggest, loosest fitting tank that I have. It was clean. I threw it on. That was it. And then we happened to take a picture. But yeah, I mean,
I enjoyed this tweet from Boston Broker 33. Special thanks to Sal's broker for finally making this happen.
Yes. The long journey well worth it for us, thankfully.
Vegas Kev, love train of thoughts of Jimmy and Sal, usually a highlight of my week. Palate cleanser from the world. That was Patrick Webb asks approval of Sal's new TV setup ? I do approve. It's pretty spectacular. He basically has a whole wall that's a screen. I don't love the YouTube TV, whatever.
I know. Well, I told you I didn't really have a choice. Optimum was not much better.
I know.
And either way, for Sunday Ticket, I have to have YouTube TV in some capacity. I don't know what to tell you. Verizon Internet. But it's basically the same setup I had last time. I think just a more modern, maybe a little more spacious setup.
No, it's a very, very, very good. It's very similar to your old setup.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, very similar. So it's
The screen is the same size. The seats are basically the same.
Right.
Not exactly the same because we left all the other stuff at the old place. Yeah. But it's just.
I thought you were lying when you told me they weren't the same couches. I was convinced you had brought the couches over. The same exact couches.
Yeah.
So good setup. At Mets Games says, how long did it take you to get there? And did you tape this week's pod with Sal's wife? All right. So since everyone wants Sal's wife on this podcast, I'll just tell you quickly. At one point in the afternoon, I said to Sal's wife, hey, do you realize how many of my listeners want you as a guest of my podcast? And she had absolutely no clue and looked at me like I had 12 heads. So we're going to keep things. We're not even going to, I didn't even want to explain why. No details were given. So no, Sal's wife, not going to be on the podcast. I can assure you that. All right. And how long did it take me to get there?
What did she say when you mentioned that? Because I heard you bring that up, and I knew she had no clue. But did she say?
No clue.
Did you follow up with like?
I think she was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And then I just tried to change the subject because I wasn't going to be like, well, Sal complains about his life every week. So
right, she's probably thinking, oh wow, he talks so nicely of me.
Yeah, I did a quick subject change. And it took me like, I don't know, took me like a little over 2 hours to get there. It wasn't too bad.
Wow, that actually is bad if it took over 2 hours. Didn't it take you less to go home?
Going home was a disaster.
What?
Yeah, because of the George Washington Bridge.
You know, you left earlier than Eddie, and then he texted me. Basically, he got home like 10 minutes after you. So you left too early. I know you were antsy to get out of there, but the later you leave, the better it is.
You never want to overstay your welcome. Got to be careful with that. All right, let's read some Apple reviews for the month of August since we are wrapping up August. And then when we
wait, there was one more comment that you didn't, because I steer clear of the Twitter comments because I don't want to see it. But I was curious the reaction to that picture, and they were all pretty much positive, so I thought it was good. There was one that said something like marble countertop paper plates. So I wanted to ask you, like, I use paper plates all the time. I don't give a shit. I'm not.
Yeah, I didn't even really understand that comment.
Well,
so I don't know.
Basically, like, and actually, that might have been from Constantine, the dude from
Rock of Ages.
American Rock Idol. Of Ages, right.
Yeah.
Paper. What's the problem with paper plates? Did you have an issue with paper plates? Like, is that?
I have never in my life ever had people over for a barbecue and not use paper plates. That's why I didn't read the comment. I skipped some of these, you know, because I got a lot. So I wore a T-shirt that said Howard and Robin and Fred and Baba Booey. So I got a lot of comments about, you know, where's Jackie? Jackie should be on the shirt. Great shirt, fellas. Yeah. So I didn't read every comment. And that comment, you know, someone was like, you know, someone tweeted red velvet cake. But next, so I didn't. Yeah, I've never not used
paper plates. I was just curious. So. I think that could be up for debate, like whether you should serve paper. Yeah, paper plates is like, why would you serve? If I served you regular plates, it would be weird to me.
Listen, there are certain foods you need on a regular plate, but barbecue food is perfect for that. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So next week, football will be here. We'll do all football stuff next week, but, you know, I'm sure half the people who normally listen this week aren't listening because everyone's off from work this week. It's Labor Day weekend. So we give you a little recap of our day Saturday at Sal's. And, oh, this is an interesting topic, though, from Sal. Sal, tell the people what temperature you keep your pool at.
So this is my first ever experience with a heated pool. Okay. We grew up, I'm like, who the hell needs a heater? We didn't grow up with a heated pool. And now people are so, oh, you have to have a heater. It just came with it, whatever. And then the more people that I've had, because I've hosted plenty of people this summer so far, they like it almost like 90 degrees. They like bath water.
Ridiculous.
So I would say now yesterday I went in and it was actually cold. It was nice and refreshing and cold. But it was that day was probably like, I'd say anywhere between 85 and 90 is the normal temp.
You got to go to 80. Water needs to be refreshing.
Understood. You're not factoring in that I don't go in. Like if it's me by myself, yes. My wife is the problem. She wants it warm, like a bath.
Maybe I should get her on the podcast. Stop berating her for how hot the pool is.
Yeah, just don't ask me to get you a drink.
Yeah, well, I wasn't bringing that up. I stayed clear of it. I was on to the Apple reviews. You wanted to bring that up.
You got to see firsthand. No,
let's
whatever.
Just say, are you doing fantasy football this year?
I might do one league, I think.
Just your name week. Should be, can you get me a drink? That did not go over
I
well.
I knew she wasn't going to take well to that. But
yeah, let's move on. All right, so next week we'll do all football stuff. We'll really hammer the NFL home because it all gets started next week. And we'll read the reviews here for August and then wrap it up. All right, here we go. This is Murray Malone, 5 stars. Thank you. I love that Sal does sports for a living, doesn't know USC going to the Big Ten, doesn't watch college football. Love him. Cracks me up how tightly his bubble is. Funny. So I did a mailbag last week for SI.com for one of my columns because there was nothing going on. I said, let me do a mailbag. And so many people were asking questions about you. And one of them was like, does Sal really not know what's going on? And Sal does not know what's going on.
Meaning like politically or we're talking about? Well,
yeah, a lot. Yeah. Well, even your sports bubble is tight.
Well, it's just the only reason, and I'll be honest with you, I'm actually, for some reason inside of me, maybe it's just the excitement of football season. I'm more excited about college football this year than in years past. But I think that might just be me excited for the fall. I used to love college football. I just don't have the proper time now paying attention to all the New York sports teams, plus being married with a kid. It's very, right. I find it very difficult to, what am I supposed to do? I can't be watching college football all day Saturday and then the NFL all day Sunday and then work 2 jobs 5 days a week and still be married with a kid. It just doesn't work. Right. So college football,
we know the politics is not happening at all.
Yeah, I genuinely don't have interest in politics. I never have, never will. I don't even want to get into it. I mean, I have my own thoughts and opinions, but nobody wants to hear that. I don't care to share it. I do the sport. So that's by design.
I broke the news to Sal Saturday that RFK dropped out of the race. He had no clue.
I was not aware of that.
Do you know who he's married to in real life?
No.
Really?
RFK?
Yeah, the guy who dropped out, the Aaron Rodgers guy.
Oh, wait. Is it Cheryl Hines?
Very good.
Okay,
ding, ding,
there
ding.
We go.
All right.
I didn't know that one. Okay.
All right. Do you want back in the college football pool that I do with Diesel since you're pumped up for the season?
When do you need an answer on that?
Well, probably by the end of this week.
Yeah, because it starts Saturday?
Game starts Saturday.
Okay.
I'll text you and harass you about it later.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Kira Rogers. Listen every week and love the pod, but your conversation about the new kickoff rule was ridiculous. It's not that difficult to figure out. They're trying to promote kick returns while making it safer. So kicking team is encouraged to kick the ball to landing zone so it can be returned instead of kicking through the end zone and offense starting at the 30. Kicking team is encouraged to not let the ball roll into the end zone for a touchback by being forced to start at the 20 if that happens. Also, love that you think the Pac-12 is two teams now and questioning why they haven't changed the name. The Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. You're allowed to read about things that occur outside of the East Coast. He gave 5 stars, so I don't mind the review. And I call it the Pac-12 because that's what the conference was. And now there's two teams in it. So don't, I call everything still by old names. I still call Citi Field Chase Stadium. Right. So I can't be bothered with that. His explanation of kicking rules.
Citi Field is a totally different stadium, but like Jacobs Field, whatever they play in Cleveland, I still refer to. So I'm with you there. Yeah. What is the conference actually called if it's not the Pac-12?
Pac-2? I don't know. I don't even know.
Right. But there's two teams. For years, it was, you know, the Big Ten didn't have 10 teams in it. Like, we understand that. Is it a he or she that tweeted that?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, their tweet was accurate about the kickoff stuff. We just had a conversation about it without fully understanding the rules. I thought initially, and I remember this conversation with you saying that I think it's designed to have more kickers, more kickoffs returned,
right,
which it is. I didn't know exactly why that is the case, but if you take a touchback, you're going to get fewer yards, whatever it is. So they explain the rules better there. We'll learn it as the season goes on. But yes, we did do a bad job with that, I will admit.
I don't think I did a bad job. I didn't understand the rule. I still don't understand the rule, and I don't care about the rule. And here's all you need to know. Bill Belichick yesterday on Pat McAfee, new NFL kickoff rule destined to fail. So
did he give a reason for it?
I mean, yeah, we're going to get into a whole big thing, but if you want a quote, I'll give you a quote. Just give me a minute. Oh, no. Now they're giving me a video here. Let's see.
Well, that is
pop-up ads. F this.
That is the problem that you said. We and the responder, the listener is correct there that we didn't gather all the information. But the reason is we don't care about all the information yet. We will once we see it play out and then can talk about it. But for now.
So if you kick it in the end zone, they get the ball at the 30. If you kick it in the kickoff zone, they get it at the 20. I'd rather kick it in the end zone, give it to them at the 20, than have them return it and possibly get a touchdown if that's how the rule works. But again,
you can have better field position. Wait, you'll have worse field position if you don't run it out, right?
It's just 10 yards. I mean,
yeah, I still don't know the rules, so I'm butchering it again. I don't care. I'll learn it after week one. But it is designed to make kickoffs more exciting and keep them safer. So I do think it is should be a more exciting play in theory.
Yeah. John Rudin, the new kickoff rule was stupid. I don't know. All right. What am I doing? Okay. Apple reviews. All right. Here we go. I got to go back because Apple doesn't make it easy. I don't know. Like, to me, just leave it the way it is. Like, there was no need. Don't, if you're going to change it, don't change it into something so convoluted. That's my issue. But you don't agree?
I don't know. I mean, I want to see it play out. I know this. The old kickoff was pointless. 95%, and that's not to be accurate. I'm exaggerating for effect. But most of them just felt like kicking it in the back of the end zone, take it at the 20. Like, let's just eliminate the problem there.
Right.
Now, though, I think it is going to be a play in the game.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we got 5 stars here. Thank you, Brad T4. Hi, Jimmy. Seems like you've been getting the big sports media names on your show on a regular basis. You must be getting the respect and attention of the biggest broadcasters, which is cool to see. As much as you and Sal love the NFL, it's now at the point for me that the NFL no longer cares about the game, and it's purely about making money. The ridiculous rules, penalties for pass interference, late hits, and roughing the passer makes the NFL like McDonald's. Quality no longer matters. Everyone just eats the junk. So they keep seeing what else they can get away with. With all the new extra games and 18 games is inevitable, it's just too much, becoming unwatchable. A couple of things. McDonald's quality has definitely gone down. I got fries from there a couple of weeks ago. The fries are not the same. The last couple of times I've gotten it, I try not to eat it as much, you know, like, but the quality of McDonald's has gone down. And as for the NFL being all about money, guess what? every company is about money. The NFL is no different than anyone else. Doesn't matter what company you are. It's all about money. So I don't know. To me, I don't know how your beef is more games, like 18 games, holiday games. I mean, we've gone through it with you. You don't like it because of conflicts with family events and stuff like that. More games is better. I don't, in the NFL, I don't see what the issue is.
I'm okay with that, but I think he nails it when he talks about the lack of quality of play. Basically, the first 4 weeks, and this is not just me saying this, people in the game have acknowledged this and said it. The first 3 to 4 weeks in the NFL, games that count are essentially what preseason games used to be, or at least one of the preseason games used to be. They don't practice as hard. They don't play in the preseason games. So they're getting a feel for themselves the first 4 weeks of the season. That means the quality of play in the first four games that count is not anywhere near as good as it used to be. Now, how do you fix that? There is no way to fix that, unfortunately, because they're not going to go back and make fewer games and have more preseason games. They're not going to play harder in practice or play harder in the preseason. So I don't know what to tell you, but the quality of play is suffering. And when you have, like, the Jets start with 3 games in 11 days, that is unbelievable to me. Monday, Sunday, Thursday, 3 games in 11 days. What type of quality can you be expecting from them right out of the gate? So you just have to learn from a gambling perspective or a picking perspective. You're also feeling it out. You can't judge based on week one, week two, week three. It really takes 4 or 5 weeks now to really get some sort of a sense of what these teams are.
That's fair. I guess I get a little tired of all the narratives about the game having all these issues, just because when I watch the games, I still enjoy them just as much as ever. But yeah, I mean,
right.
The first couple of weeks are definitely lower quality. There's no doubt.
Have you had Ian on? I told you about this. Like, I talked to Ian about it last year, a couple years ago. He agreed with it. Like, basically, the first 4 weeks is essentially a preseason that counts, which is, it's just, to me, wild. But it is what it is. People eat it up. You're, like you said, you can't get enough of it.
All right. Fair enough. All right, here we go. Finky999, 5 stars. Thank you. Jimmy, everyone knows that you hate flying and haven't been on a plane since COVID. Would you take a flight to LA for a private dinner with Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David? What would it take to get you on a plane? I forget COVID. I haven't flown since like 2017, probably.
Wow.
Way before COVID. No, not 2017. No, 2013. 2013.
What?
Probably the last time I was on a plane. Yeah.
Just no interest?
Yeah. Combined with some other things. Would I get on a plane to fly to LA to have dinner with Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld? Yes. Fuck yes. Yes.
Thanks.
Like, yes, absolutely. Like, yeah. Give me all the drugs you can. I'll take 87 Xanax. Maybe I'll pay someone to be on. I don't want to be on the plane by myself. My fear is dying alone.
Was it Cena that told you, what if you had to fly to California to get The Rock on? Wasn't there some kind of issue?
Something like that.
And you were like,
Yeah. Yeah. Dinner with Jerry and Larry. Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay.
All right. Zawiel Z, 5 stars. Very fun podcast. Did you call the fan back in the day? Have you ever tried, or would you ever try to get Francesa on your pod? I keep getting this question about getting Francesa on the podcast. This is what I wrote last week. The last couple of years of Mike's show, I wrote critical pieces about how bad it was. So I don't want to now turn around and be like, I want to come on my podcast. Like, it just feels phony to me to do that. Because if he did come on, I would have to ask him, like, why were you so miserable those last 3 years? And he's going to say I wasn't miserable. And I don't want to deal with, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's why I haven't asked him. Yes, I used to call the fan way back when I was in, like, high school, college, whatever it was. Jimmy from Syosset. I used to call Mike and the Dog all the time. And I know Sal used to call, too.
It is bizarre. You have the tapes? Because I have some tapes.
I have the tapes. I have the tapes.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
Think about that. Like, I'll never forget. I was on hold and they were arguing about who's better, Brady Anderson or Bernie Williams. And Dog was like, Mike, Brady Anderson, 50 home runs. Mike's like, oh my God, you think Brady Anderson's a better player than Bernie Williams? Yes, I do. And it's great. And Sal from Ronkonkoma's.
I mean, it was crazy how long you'd be on hold sometimes.
Oh, but I didn't care, man. Once you get through and you get on, that was, oh, God.
And I think I called Beningo a couple of times on the overnight, Joe Beningo. But
he was my first call. I called him 95. Yeah. My first ever call was 1995 after either game 3 or 4, the ALDS with the Mariners and Yanks.
I used to like calling Dog on the Saturday mornings because then you get a little more time.
All right.
That was the trick. Doc Lou, Iowa, 5 stars. Great interview with Chris Mad Dog Russo. Would love to go to Bar A one day. It's fun. You should, if he does it next year, I highly recommend everyone going. All right, last one from Mike Clifford, ATX. 5 stars. Thank you. Jimmy loves all the things I find boring: wrestling, gambling, and the New York Yankees. He's got a whole slew of stuff he dislikes and will tell you about all of them. He's joined by his buddy Sal, who does hapless as good as anyone. Growing up in New York City myself, as a kid, being a Met fan, we would call the Yankees the Crankies because although they rarely lost, it was never their fault. Yet, Jimmy is an excellent conversationalist. His podcasts are always entertaining, and I even listening to the wrestling nonsense because he knows it is nonsense and sees the fun of it. He loves his nieces. I don't miss any of the shows. The only thing missing is Sal's wife. She should be on without Sal, if only to prove she exists. I mean, well, listen, she exists. That's a ridiculous statement. And again, I understand everyone wants her on. Not happening, especially after I thought Saturday, if I would have said, you know, everyone wants you on, and she would have been like, I know, Sal tells me, you know, maybe like I thought maybe I would take out the phone and do like a little voice thing and be like, you know, everyone, you know. But once I saw her complete cluelessness about what takes place on this podcast, it was over right then and there.
You know what the unfun part of it would be? She doesn't know how to. Like, if she knew she was on air,
right,
she wouldn't be her truest self.
Right.
She wants right. no part of it and all that stuff. Right. But I do think it would be fun. Like you said, you could have done a little conversation with she. I'm sure she would do it. But
I do not want to be responsible for any marital strife.
Are you two now? No, come on. I mean, I know it sounds like that, but yeah.
Well, my first question would be, okay, give me, you know, rank Sal as a husband here. Scale of 1 to 10.
I would want
and if her she to says answer, 4, I don't
want to
be.
No, I would want her to answer that honestly. I don't I'm want sure no you would. Crap. Oh, he's a 10. He's so loving. No. I want you to answer it honestly. What are my deficiencies and all those different things? We have to get that. If we could get to that point, then it'd be worth it.
I would suggest a therapist instead of the SI Media podcast if you want a ranking.
I agree. She needs a therapist.
All right, Sal, what's on the agenda the rest of the vacation here since you're off all week?
Golf a couple of days, which I'm not even a big golf guy, but I just got invited, so I can't turn that down. I'm going to go to Saratoga on Friday, pool time, relaxing. I need the last 2 days to really start to get mentally prepared for what's going to just be an exciting but crazy busy beginning of football with both the Jets and Giants, all right. Mets and Yankees postseason push. So I'm excited for it, but I need at least like a little mental breather.
I don't even know this. Where are the Mets right now in terms of playoffs?
I think they're 2.5 back of the final wild card spot.
Of the final wild card.
Yeah, they were a game and a half back, and now I think it's like 2.5, something like that. But they're right there.
Right, so if you get Mets and Yankees both in the postseason, the Jets and Giants.
Oh, man.
The Jets will give you stuff all year. The Giants could be go either way, so that'll be interesting. Well,
which is fine, because when you think about in comparison to last year, Mets and Yankees both missed the postseason. They were dead in August. Jets were dead 4 plays in when Rodgers went down, and the Giants got washed on Sunday night right out of the gate, 40-0 or whatever it was, to Dallas. So we didn't have any of that last year. So I'm looking forward to those guys being back. And then the Knicks. You throw in the Knicks eventually. But this is the best time of year. September, football weather starting. It's the best time of year.
I agree. All right. Enjoy the rest of your week off. Don't ask your wife to get your drink.
Last one.
Yeah.
You made the trip.
Yeah.
You saw the setup and all
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Would you now be willing to come out for a football Sunday?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
The problem, this would be the problem with a football
major
Sunday.
Issue, because how are you going to leave? What time are you going
to
leave?
That's the issue. So when you used to live on the island, I'd leave after the 1 o'clock games. Miss a very, very short portion of the 4 o'clock games, maybe half the first quarter, that was it, and I'd be home. If I come to you, I got to stay probably for the 4 o'clocks and blow off the Sunday night game, maybe.
I mean, you also could stay over and just make it if that's easier, I don't know if you know.
I'm a little old for sleepovers, but.
I'm just offering. Right, otherwise, yes, you stay for the 4 o'clocks, yes, and then you go home and listen to the first half of the Sunday night game. That's probably the best bet.
That's less probably, too. Right. But it also depends on the games that day. Like if it's, you know, I need a shitty Sunday night game, then I don't mind blowing it off. Like if there's a really good 4:25, I got to stay.
Right.
You know, so yeah. I'll make a trek one of these Sundays during the season.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. All right. See you next week. Take it easy.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. All right. My many thanks to Brian Curtis and Sal Licata, and to you for listening. If you missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Traina, make sure you give them a listen. If you missed it last week, Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN and Amazon was on the pod last week. Chris Mad Dog Russo a couple of weeks ago. Greg Olson from Fox, a recent guest as well. So Herbstreit, Mad Dog Russo, Greg Olson, all recent guests on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. So give those a listen and make sure you subscribe and leave a review on Apple. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you next week for week one of the NFL season, finally here on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.